plat, gazeuse plat.
Ah ouais, elle est belle cette bouteille. C'est beau ça.
Comment ça se met? Comment ça se met?
T'as fait du one man show ou pas?
Vous pouvez essayer le casque si vous voulez.
Oui.
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 Je pense que ça y a un sens, vas-y, t'as trouvé?
Et vous non, ça y est, l'officiel école, il y a que t'as-tu un peu d'agoen intouchable, filmer en prensa recoa, eritera goaz. Buenos días.
Good morning. We're going to commence the press conference of the film, of the official section outside of the competition, Untouchables. We've got the director Eric Toledano, Olivier Nakache, and we've got the actors François Clouset and Omar Sy. And they are prepared to answer your questions. So first question, please. Who's going to ask the first question, please? Yes?
Allons-y, la première question. Là, ahí está. Un micrófono, por favor. Micrófono.
Microphone. The first question is always the most difficult, and it has to do with how you approached it. The approach. What is... your people is excellent. My wife and I liked it very much. Is it going to receive a prize tonight? And thank you very much, Mr. Clouset. And bravo to Omar, because your performances were great. I don't think that we form part of the competition. It doesn't form part of the competitive side of the official section. But if we get an award or a prize, we'll take it, of course. Well, this was a joke. I'm not going to repeat the joke because as it worked from the beginning, I'm not going to repeat it.
Allá atrás hay una un micrófono allá atrás.
There's a question back there. Yes. Congratulations for the film, and the truth is, it moved me quite a lot because of the social work that the film transmits for tetraplegics. The actor, I forget exactly the name of the character, or Omar Sy. He treats Philippe like a human being. He doesn't treat him like a tetraplegic, and I think that's the key to the entire film. That is to say, he treats him as a human being with his virtues and his defects. And I think that's where it all lies, apart from what the film, which is a witty comedy, and there's a lot of humor, and also there's a lot of joking going on. So therefore, I repeat, congratulations for the film.
Merci. Merci beaucoup.
Allá atrás, allá atrás. Creo que alguien quiere preguntar.
Another question at the back. Yes, hi, good morning. Congratulations for the film. It's a subject matter which is so dramatic, it's quite difficult to make it a funny film, as you have. The important thing, I want to ask you whether the real protagonists inspired in the film are recognized in the film or not. To what extent are they? Do they recognize themselves? The real characters the movie is based upon. Yes, the real-life characters. Well, one of the two have already seen the film. Philippe Pozzo di Borgo, the character on the wheelchair, and he did recognize himself in the film because we inspired ourselves upon that meeting between two people. That's what marked us. We saw a documentary a couple of years back on TV of this meeting between these two characters, and that's what made us feel like making this film. And the truth is, we have adjusted ourselves very much to reality, and Philippe Pozzo di Borgo authorized us to adapt that part of his life only if we did it as a comedy, and that was a condition, it was his desire, shall we say, his wish, that it be made a comedy. So therefore, the film, when he saw it, was a very moving experience for us. I would like to ask François Clouset, upon the difficulty of portraying a character who can't really express himself with his hands, and above all this, it's very difficult, he's got very little to express himself, only the expression of his face. Now, that was quite hard, therefore. So the question is, whether you feel very tied and very limited. No, I didn't feel excessively tied down. How could I say? It wasn't difficult because, once again, when actors are on their own and it's difficult, the actor is the worst judge of his or her performance. We were, before that, we'd worked, the four of us together, during the before the shoot. What we did to try to break down the feelings, the counter feelings, and not only did we familiarize and get to know each other at this, in the rehearsals, but we went to Asawira in Morocco, seeing the character that I portray. The directors were quite clear-cut in what they wanted us to do. They're not going to say this, but I'm sure that they have a quality which is as follows. They truly supervise everything. They're very generous with it. They're also very generous, and they allowed us to, they gave us a lot of trust and confidence, but they are very, they not only direct what is written down in the script, but they also seek further on when they're shooting the film or the different scenes, how to find another, how to discover more and go further in depth and to surprise each other every day. So therefore, for me, it was quite simple. I didn't have to move, so therefore, sometimes when I did move, they quickly said, well, okay, I'm leaving the character. Why? Because I couldn't move, because spontaneously there was a reflex action and I expressed something with my body. But it was quite simple at the end of the day, because I was a spectator vis-a-vis my colleague who was magnificent in his portrayal. This person who helps a human being. One can be a tetraplegic but continue to be a human being, just as it was mentioned before. That's right. So therefore, I had my colleague who was looking at me, and there was no compassion or pity, but the objective was to make my character, who was suffering, enjoy himself. And thanks to him, I was able to find how to portray this role. And the directors were very open and had an excellent attitude with us. So therefore, it's been a pleasure to work with them. There was no difficulty at all.
Hola, buenos días.
Hi, good morning. Congratulations and thanks for the film that I liked very much. In Mar Adentro, a Spanish film, where there was a part where the protagonist flew through the sky and he allowed his imagination to fly. Here, the protagonist also flies in a paraglider. And realistically, what do you think about this coincidence of the fact that the character also flies in a paraglider? Well, what we wanted to do above all was to be as faithful as possible to reality. And in reality, this character, Philippe, who we were with, who liked overcoming all hurdles and trying to knock walls down almost and to cross frontiers. And one of the things he said is he paraglided again at that place where he had the accident, which turned him into a tetraplegic, that drew my attention, and we wanted to shoot that moment as well. And in the documentary upon which the film is based, there are sequences of him flying in a paraglider . I remember in Mar Adentro, a film that also marked us quite a lot, albeit we had to approach it as a comedy, as I said beforehand. The first idea was a slight approach, a light approach to a very important story, but we wanted to shoot the paragliding scenes. It's untouchable, intouchables, or untouchable. It's it demonstrates metaphorically the idea of the film. That is to say, there's a given moment, that unique relationship allowed them to fly above any conventions and people, and to look at something as if they couldn't be touched, as if something had everything became small in their eyes. So therefore, the powerful thing about this relationship is that they both teach each other. They have grown together. They both grow together. Philippe told us when we met him that we mutually saved our lives. I'm not here to tell you I can't tell you, I couldn't have told you this if I hadn't met them, but this sequence for us, the paragliding scene is very important for us, and the parallelism that exists with Mar Adentro that may exist is that it's also a film which is a very powerful film upon the way in which one can be disabled, but when one's soul continues to function, it continues being a soul in itself. So therefore, while your head and your soul functions, everything functions. That's what we understood when we met Philip Pozzo di Borgo.
Enhorabuena.
Congratulations, the film. I think not only did I like it, but I think the audience liked it. There was a long ovation at the end. And why didn't it enter into competition in the official section? That is to say, or it's a great film for the closing ceremony. Or what I think the key of the film could be the good chemistry between both of the actors, who are fantastic, by the way. Could that be the key to the film?
Alors pourquoi on n'est pas en sélection?
Why aren't we in the official section? Well, I don't know. They're in the official section, but outside the competition. It is the closing ceremony. They are in the official section, but they're outside the competition. They don't compete. Sorry. It's difficult to respond this to you. Perhaps the distributor, our distributing company, I think we preferred to be, we wanted to be in the, but if you want to give us a prize, like I said, we'll take it. Don't worry. The prize of those that are not in the competition. For example, give us a prize for that, or the prize of the best closing film. Okay, why not organize a prize along those lines? In any case, thank you very much for saying those kind words. That I want to say something which sounds banal, perhaps, but the best reward are these types of reactions. These are the best rewards, albeit it sounds like a cliche phrase. It's very beautiful what you've said. By the way, if you want to read me, I'm in Bateau magazine. Long live love, I think he's saying. And if there were less violence on earth, it would also be much better. Things would be much better. Cliche phrases. Next question. The key of the film, apart from the script, is, I think, do you agree there was a very good chemistry between Françoise and Omar, who are exceptional in the way they portray the roles. Otherwise, the film wouldn't have worked. Apart from the gags, which I think are very well written. I think the actors should express their point of view here. Are you okay? Yes, I'm okay. Yes. We got along really well. And just like as you said, there was good chemistry between each other. We were very comfortable with each other. And I was a bit afraid. I don't know how to, I was a bit very scared. Don't invent words. Well, I was a bit concerned because I don't have the same amount of experience as Francois has, obviously. I knew Francois because of his career and his talent, and I was a bit concerned at the beginning, but Francois is an actor who's very generous, who gives a lot, and who works always as he's a team man, so therefore he made me form part or incorporated me into his team. I felt very comfortable. The directors, I know them quite well. I've worked in several films with them, so therefore I felt very well and very comfortable from the beginning. I enjoyed myself very much as well and had a lot of fun. And I let go and I was able, I let myself go completely and got into my work. I agree with what Omar has said, but also I would like to add, and I believe, for example, that the power is based upon the power of the our portrayals are based upon the script, and the script offered us situations that went beyond to what was described in the script. I think when actors are confident vis-a-vis the directors and trust the directors, they believe. Well, it's like a friendship. The cinema that's liked by the audience nowadays, it's a cinema where you don't portray, you live under... how can we live a love story or friendship as dense as this without playing the game, so to speak. When one has the good fortune of portraying a role in a and friendship, the luck is to have a colleague that doesn't reject me, and I was quite fortunate to have in front of me a great actor, a very generous man who goes beyond being an actor, someone who's very elegant in the way he portrays his role, the way he dances, and the way he takes life, and each of the members of the team as well, or the whole crew and the directors. And I think there was a lot of solidarity, and I think actors understand that the audience nowadays don't come to see an actor to play a role in a film. Before, in Mar Adentro, you were talking about Javier Bardem. In Mar Adentro, it's not simply a performance of this actor. Nowadays, the audience, albeit they don't know who the director or the actor is, what they come to see is a film, because they've heard talk about that film, and so therefore, for example, by word of mouth, they've told, go and watch that film because it's worthwhile watching the movie. Don't wait for it to come on TV. It's worthwhile to go to the movie theater, leave the house, and go quickly to the cinema before it goes somewhere else. And thanks to our directors, quite fortunately, once we read the script, we had one single challenge. That's it. Do our work according to what was stipulated in the script. And I was fortunate enough to have a great colleague who's a unique person, and it was a great fortune for me to portray my role with Omar and admire him, and also other feelings that perhaps are too easy to explain.
Merci. Je vais insister.
I'm going to insist upon 2 points, please. I've seen official section here, and there are prizes to new directors, and that's why I asked my question. It was written down here on the sheet. Perhaps you'll get the prize to new director. No, but they're not new directors. Yes, but when you say new directors, you're referring to the first film. I don't know. We will have to ask the organization why it's written down in this section. These are old directors. These aren't new directors. This is their fourth film, feature film. Apart from all the advertising of the film, as you say, for example, as regards to the critics, one, you should go to the cinema before watching it on TV. But I would like to go back to Omar. My wife and I had a great time enjoying and laughing at the way he performed very spontaneously. Are you like that in real life? And at the end, give us a demonstration of how you dance. We leave the hotel. We've just had breakfast. We've just left the hotel, so it's very difficult for me to start to dance. But perhaps tonight I'll be more in shape and I might take a few steps. In real life, he's not fun at all. He's not a nice guy. He's a bit of a sinister guy, really. Yeah, we've had to work a lot in that sense. But nevertheless, he made a good lot of effort, and very happy with the results.
Hola. Bueno, si no recuerdo mal.
If I don't recall incorrectly, in San Sebastian, this is the world premiere of the film. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'd like to know, what does it mean for you guys, for that pressure of having a world premiere here in San Sebastian? Well, that's an enormous excitement and happiness to be here, because the truth is the film has not been premiered in France yet. It's taking its first steps, and to take those first steps here in San Sebastian, it's a good birth, shall we say, to the film. For here, we have been warmly welcomed here by our distributors and perhaps the audience, perhaps tonight. That's still a mystery. We'll see. But As regards to it being pressure or not, well, no, not yet. We're just happy. It's the beginning of something, really. Now we're going on tour in France. We were in Saint-Jean-de-Luz yesterday. It's the beginning of a long and pleasant journey. Sometimes people say that promotional work is very harsh, but we, and as Francois says, we get along very well, so it's a pleasure for us to do this. And plus, we eat very well. We had a good pinchos in the well-known and famous pinchos in San Sebastian. And it's true, it's a very big cinema. It's a gigantic cinema, and as it's a comedy, I hope people will laugh, and there'll be a lot of people laughing tonight. We're very impatient to see how the audience reacts to the premiere, because there will be evident reactions. We will see how a large cinema as the Kursaal is, and then we'll have a few pinchos beforehand as well. Why not? With a few anchovies.
Not in English this time. We've heard about how the actors work together on screen. I'd like to ask the actors first how the directors work together on the set, and then I'd like the directors to respond to the actors' observations.
How do they work? Well, they work, they're on set, and Francois said it before, I think. They are generous. What's very interesting with them is that when we're on set, we obviously had a good time and had a lot of fun. They're not pretentious at all. They're not certain exactly. They propose a situation and then they stimulate us as actors. That's what I like. They stimulated our work, so to speak, because I like this job I do, because I like to have a good time and fun. And on the set, we had a lot of fun. It doesn't mean we weren't working, but it was almost playful. We were always seeking an objective, and these two people have a very good technique, a very specific script, but they always sought something beyond a situation, and it's very stimulating and very good for an actor. When one comes home, for example, one feels very satisfied with having work and happy of the work with the work that you've carried out on set with these two gentlemen. Okay, I think that, well, I completely agree with what Omar has just said. They form a tandem, and as somebody said to me, I don't know whether it was yesterday or the day before, it's a tandem of actors in this case, confronting a tandem of directors. They have a lot of experience. They've been working together for many years, so therefore you can't... there are never incoherences. There are never adjustments between them both. And they work as a tandem. I believe that they've shown that they've been very efficient as a tandem. They have accepted the idea that they work better together than separately, and that corresponds to their character. They're people who individually don't have an enormous ego, so therefore it's an ego shared between two is something which is good for them. And this is a strong point, because the worst thing is to have a big ego. So that status that they have a status which is enormously creative and quite permeable. This is quite characteristic of them. And then they have a lot of trust in each other as well. And this is rebounds between them. And you never know who had the idea first, if you catch what I'm saying. So therefore, and this for them is not important. What's important is how they link with the actors between them. And as Omar said before, to try to put the scene under a certain tension at a given moment, and what we can get out of that specific scene which we haven't drawn out yet. And to finish, I would like to say that they are two directors who with whom it's very pleasant to work on set. When one is not excessively severe, quite often what happens is, or one can fall into sort of one could say negligence or misunderstanding, but with them that never happens on set. That is, they don't leave any loose ends at all. For us as well, in this tandem sort of approach, I would say, well, quite often as an actor, what happens, I say, well, okay, well, I don't know what to do. I look at the director and imitate what he wants to say because he's written the script. But in this case, it's a tandem that works perfectly. They say, therefore, as it works perfectly, we can't do our job worse than what they've done with their job. So in order to answer the way we look at the actors and what they've just said, there is a philosophy, nevertheless, that Françoise has, and I like very much, and it's a very simple theory or philosophy, and that is as follows. What is said on the day of the shoot isn't a discussion that is installed one way. It all should be decided beforehand. So therefore, and this is something that we love to do, that so we work a lot beforehand between us all, so that the day of the shoot, there are no discussions vis-a-vis whether... These are things that are decided way before, and that's what I'm trying to say. And almost certified or adjusted perfectly. We can improvise later or take the scene a bit further, but on that day, we're not going to shoot it again. On that day, we've got to apply something which we've worked upon way beforehand. And secondly, in a script or in a project for a film, when we've already chosen the cast, we've selected a significant part of the possibilities of achieving success. And in this case, the social dimension of the suburbs in France was shown. And obviously we've got the role that Omar portrays represents reality. He knows that world from the inside, so therefore he knows what that's about, to live in that world. So therefore it's unthought of to fool the audience with a character who's going to portray... I'm going to imagine what it's like to live in the outskirts of whatever it is, city. No, he's got to know from his innards. So therefore, nobody in France could do that. And I must say that in 2005, that residential, it forms part of the landscape, not only of France, but these also exist in England, for example. Every time there's a social movement, you always go to the outsides of these new popular, shall we say, the outskirts in these districts in the outskirts of a city. So in this case, it's an actor who's lived that, and he's also untouchable. This is what moved us as well. Disabilities, suburbs, these are complex issues, undoubtedly, that everyone says, oh, what's going to happen? We're going to fall into a melodrama situation. We're going to deal with, it's going to be political. But no, these are two people that have come along for the ride, and they touch something which is untouchable, that's to play a tetraplegic. And it's not only to simply play the role, but to be audacious at the same time. They're very brave. And this is something that is done during the casting. Francois, we know he's got the possibility of following us in this sense and in this entire process. And from the outset, we always choose him and nobody else, and Omar as well. This work forms part of the constitution of us as a tandem and them as a tandem. As we're in Spain, perhaps you don't know the potential distance that may exist, but when you see these two people in the cast, these two different people, there's a paradox exists. They say they accepted, both of them, to participate in this project. They don't have the same style, they don't have the same prior experience, but they've accepted to accompany us in this project. And for me, 90% of the work was already done. And then the idea was to follow the same direction, but that was already a very important first step. The soundtrack, I'd like to ask you, of mixing that classical music with funky music, so on, was that all? That was to reinforce the idea of the film, that the different, very different worlds can connect and link perfectly? Yes. We had a lot of fun making this film, obviously, and as Francois said, we had a list of songs, and we said, what is one possessed that the other character doesn't have? Then we have music, contemporary art, and so on. And we had a lot of fun with all of those works of art. We go to exhibitions and we ask ourselves, well, what's all this contemporary art about? So we really thought it was a lot of fun. It was quite fun to see how Omar painted. And this film, like in previous films that we've made, are quite musical. That is to say, we wrote the films with headphones on, with the music on, basically, and face to face. Ludovico Di Boni is the music is from, and we always bore in mind this music every time, and funk as well. So therefore, that music that we chose is music that we've grown up with, and we like it, and we love it. We love to see Omar dancing. So therefore, it was a great pleasure. It's movement music. That's the interesting thing. When he dances, he has a lot of movement vis-a-vis the immobility of the other actor. And he expressed that music, I think, believed expressed it very well. Francois says something. He says, sometimes in cinema, what's more intense is the most intense way of portraying something is to transmit something without doing something. So therefore, it's much easier for you to understand it with the music. That's why we had all the lighting, the clothes, the wardrobe. Or many times it's not necessary for there to be dialogues. A look can transmit everything at a given moment. So therefore, and I like people to not explain things to me, just to show them to me. And music allows you to do this. Another question, in the shoot, there was a complicated moment, I imagine, for example. In the paragliding scene, I imagine that was quite complicated during the shoot. That's the question.
Technically, c'était compliqué.
Well, technically, it was complicated, but then once all of that was adjusted, was it complicated for you guys? Well, no, I loved to shoot that scene. What's great about cinema is you do things that I would never have done on my own in my day-to-day life. I'd never been in summer camps. I've been to summer camps when I was a kid, but I've never paraglided. No, so I loved it. I enjoyed myself enormously. It was a great pleasure. It is true that there was a lot of technical adjustments. We had to jump off a paraglide several times. I think I did 10 flights, and it was like going to Euro Disney. It was quite a lot of fun, but without Mickey Mouse in the background. Hi, good morning. Francois, I'd like to ask you a question, Francois Glazen. What's the most difficult scene for you to portray for an immobile position? Perhaps did you take Al Pacino in Essence of Woman as a role model to portray your character? I recall that the scene that most concerned me, if I recall correctly, was when I read the script. I laughed quite a lot. I thought, well, it's a fun comedy. It's very fine. And there's a lot of talent in that script. And like an imbecile, I only had one thing in my mind, and that was to make people laugh. That's what I thought. And then I had to confront a scene with a lot of sorrow and grief, and it wasn't prepared. And it's not that I'd forgotten about it, but the comedy had submerged those scenes with grief. And when I had to... I don't like to fool people when I portray my roles. And I wasn't a disabled person. I had to carry out some physical exercise to try to feel, to transmit something that... perhaps subsequently could exist in my mind to get closer to the character. For example, disabled people have what they call ghost pains, and the directors Omar and I talked about all of these types of pains, and they're called ghost pains, and just the name in itself is quite enigmatic, isn't it? And that was the moment in which I was under the impression that I was making another film. I believed quite firmly that spontaneity and generosity and the freshness and the fantasy of Omar's character, and Omar himself was convinced that these elements would make up the film. But it wasn't too clear in my mind that my character was going to hide these pains that he was suffering. And when I had to demonstrate it, I had to get prepared to feel this pain as if it were real, albeit it had nothing to do because I hadn't suffered it realistically in life. Like, for example, when Omar plays with the hot water, did you have a hard time there, or did you, or was it easy to do this? No. Thank God. That's the magic of cinema. It was cold water. It wasn't hot water. And the smoke came from some sort of little capsule or something. No, otherwise I wouldn't have accepted for hot water to be poured on my leg. I think if we would have done it that way, I don't think we'd get along together as well as we do now. I don't think the director wouldn't have allowed him to use hot water, and I think Omar would have accepted to use hot water to make it more realistic. The gags and the jokes, what mirror have you looked in, who have you looked at in order to choose those types of gags and jokes? Well, we usually say that we make films that talk about our past, our common past, because we met at a summer camp and we reflected those happy days, I think it's a film. And we also made a film upon the family, which is called Tes Montreux. These are, and this film didn't talk about our past, but we did express ourselves very subjectively. So therefore, the mirror that we've used, or what we've looked at, I imagine, was the fact that it's a character who continues to be quite optimistic and who has chosen a philosophy in life to be optimistic, albeit the circumstances in which he lives in might make him be depressed and to have a morbid type of humor. What's admirable, I believe, in this way of approaching life is that we took an extreme case in order to demonstrate that there does exist pessimism, and by demonstrating his optimism, we're reflecting something about us too as directors. We have to continue to be positive, we have to continue to love life and to have the will to share and to love, albeit everything else around us tells us that we shouldn't be doing it. And in this sense, or tells us all the contrary, in this sense, I think that's where we feel most reflected, as if it were a mirror vis-a-vis the film. Yes, I completely agree. The scene in which the real characters come out, was it clear from the outset that you wanted to show this on the screen? Because this is something that draws my attention in films based upon real life characters. And on the other hand, this is something which bothers me at the same time. No, we hadn't thought about using those scenes. It's an idea that emerged during the editing process, because we realized that we were talking about real life characters, and it was a small tribute at the end to these two characters to mix the real life story and the film, and also an emotion that stems from the film at the end, and the real emotion of two true characters when you see them together. This is something which is quite intense and quite powerful. And that's why we made the decision of using it. The idea of the film emerged from the documentary we saw, and those images are from the documentary, so therefore we closed the circle there, so to speak. Then we chose a specific gesture which appears in the documentary, in which Philippe di Pozzo di Borgo smokes a cigarette, and the person who's helping him, that's the person, character that Omar portrays, waves his hand so that the smoke doesn't get in his eyes. Sometimes you think it's quite incredible, a tetraplegic who's super extremely wealthy, and on the other hand, you've got this young man from the suburbs. So therefore, on the one hand, there was an oniric or bucolic, shall we say, side to it. What we wanted to demonstrate that there was a real life basis to it, and showing the real life characters at the end, we reminded people we're not Walt Disney, who's talking about a magnificent story and where everything is beautiful and full of hope. No, we just simply have told a story which in the core of it has a lot of values at the same time. We couldn't invent it at all, because otherwise we would have said, how naive you two directors are, and we would have been called naive, I think. So therefore, we wanted to put these two characters into the center of our inspiration when we told the story. I understand that it may bother you, because obviously it may seem a bit demagogical, but you know, in cinema, it's quite more regular to rob the life of people and never just tell stories about them. So therefore, on the contrary, I love the idea that we showed those scenes of the real life characters of the people that we portrayed in the story, because at the end of the day, if it weren't for them, we wouldn't have a story. And if it wouldn't have been the generosity, too, if without the generosity of these people that demanded that the film be a comedy, without them, the beauty of this film wouldn't have existed. Thank you very much to all of you.